Welcome to the Jevers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
All right, Intelligentsia, welcome back to another episode. Let's get us started off correctly, shall we? Intelligentsia, if that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what's going to be. All right. You know, this weekend, I went out to see a band. I don't normally go to concerts. I don't like big crowds, whatever. But I do like this band. I had a buddy of mine, that, a former co-worker a few years back, said, look, you got to check out this band. Name of the band was Libido Funk Circus. They did a bunch of 70s and 80s. They come out, they got their steampunk costumes on. I'll tell you, they were really good. I enjoyed them. So we met a bunch of my wife's friends, because my friends, I've got maybe five people I can actually call friends. The rest are all acquaintances. If you're wondering which one you are, so be it. I'll leave it there. All right. But anyways, so one of the guys says, hey, what have you heard? What's going on in the world? Da, 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 da. I said, well, have you listened to my podcast? He goes, well, yeah. I said, okay, well, then you know. And I looked at him. I said, you lying sack of shit. Don't lie to me. I know you haven't been listening to it. He goes, okay. You got me. I said, what the? I said, look, you know me. Do I seem like somebody who's on the edge, the lunatic fringe, if you will? He goes, no. I said, give me your phone. So download the Podbean app, find this. Hey, here you go. Don't say this. So I tell him. Now, I said, you need to stock up on your food now, because there's food shortage coming, my friends. And it's every day, TikTok. I tell you this for the last 2 months. You know this. You're my listeners. You're smart. You're the intelligentsia. You should know this. So anyways, he goes on and tells me that he told his wife, let's put it this way. Don and his wife have a very interesting relationship. I'm not sure if his marriage will even last. But that's not my business. I don't care. So he tells me that he suggested to his wife that they stock up on food. She goes, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. Then he tells me, a couple days after that conversation, she says to him, you know, we should stock up on food. And I laughed. I said, welcome to the world of prepping. Generally speaking, when you have a married couple, one is a prepper. The other one doesn't buy into it. I said, the reason she shot you down when you suggested it was very simple. You don't have any credibility with her. But her friend that told her, yeah, you should stock up on food, she's here, you're here. That's your credibility factor, my friend. He goes, I know. I said, okay. I said, from now on, make her listen to my show. Maybe. Now, I've met her a few times. She's very standoffish. And I don't know why. She's a nice person, as far as I can tell. I mean, she's never gone crazy off the deep end and, you know, gone Karen on anybody, at least not anybody I know of. I've never seen it. But it doesn't mean anything, because I don't have to live with her. But anyways, so I said, just have her listen to my show. It'll make your life easier. You don't have to worry about the credibility gap and all the other stuff. All right, so here we are. So I wanted to put that out there. Listen, my friends, you don't need to fight with your spouse over this. Just do it. Now, some of you have been long-time listeners here. I tell the story. Superstorm Sandy. I call it a hurricane. They call it whatever. When it hit New York City, you know, the wife and I are downstairs watching it. Storm roll in. Water falls into the subway system. It looked like a tourist spot. And I'm sitting on the couch, right? And the wife looks over at me, and God love her. She looks over at me. She says, we got food and water downstairs, don't we? I said, yes, we do. I took care of that. So it was from that point on, she never questioned what I bought for prepping. Never. She also says, well, do we have medical supplies? I said, we have medical supplies. Okay. Good. Last I ever heard of it from her. Last. She never has ever said no when I went to buy prepping supplies. So, it's not impossible to get your spouse on board with this. All right. So, don't freak out. Sometimes it takes people a bit longer to absorb the fact that the government, FEMA, who has to prep for an entire nation, and it's my opinion that, you know what, they got an impossible task. It's difficult at best. Impossible is in my opinion. They got to prep for an entire nation. I think they do a good job of it. The prepping part. For, you know, deploying said resources, I don't know what you can do to fix that. I don't know. My point being this, don't freak out about it. Your spouse will come around eventually, especially with the food shortage coming. Now, we're going to talk. I know you're tired of hearing about it. Good. Do something about it. That's me. Second of all, I am tired of watching the left. You talk about a bunch of children who throw temper tantrums so they don't get their way. You listen to the Dems, the far left, you would think Trump was responsible for the Hindenburg disaster. I mean, everything else needs to be Trump's fault. These are the people, you know, when Trump won the first time, oh, he's illegitimate. He's illegitimate. Supreme Court comes down with the Dobbs decision. Oh, they're illegitimate. They're illegitimate. You talk about throwing a temper tantrum. And the people in Hollywood, you know what? They don't get it. Yes, in their world, only New York and the West Coast, that's what their world encompasses. That's it. They don't understand that we average Americans don't give a flying fuck what they think, what they say. They will say and do anything for attention because they are narcissistic attention whores. I know, I just repeated myself. Regardless, we don't care what they think. Don't care what they do. Professional sports figures, pretty much the same in my book. Don't care. For somebody who plays a child's game and makes more money in, you know, 3 or 4 months than many Americans will their entire life, you've got no credibility with this guy. All right? Now, something else. On Contra Radio Network. Well, real quickly, flashback. I'm tired of the temper tantrums. I'm tired of hearing about the temper tantrums. You're not going to get any sex from any of us ever again. Well, have you seen some of those women on the far left? I got to say, our luck is getting better and better every day. I mean, some of them, some of those war pigs, I mean, thank God I don't sit at the bars anymore. I used to sit at the bar till closing time, being a drunk asshole. I don't do that. I don't even drink anymore because I don't like the way I acted. But the fact of the matter is, some of these war pigs on the left, I got to tell you, and guys, don't worry, I'm coming to you next. Some of those women, after a bottle of Uncle Jimmy Beam at 2 a.m. in the bar, still wouldn't look good enough to take home. And as for some of you liberal men out there, I got to tell you, you guys are such a disappointment. You can't even act like men. You're afraid to be men. Now, I got a liberal friend of mine up in Antioch a few weeks ago. He's a friend of mine. He's a liberal. He's a retired school teacher from Chicago. There's no animosity between us. I respect his opinion, and he respects mine, and that's the way the game is played. But he leans over to me during the concert, and he says, "Have you been watching the January 6th hearings?" I said, "No, I will not waste time on the kangaroo court." Killed that conversation. And then said, "Why?" I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "There's nothing new coming out." He goes, "Well, I wasn't going to, you know, talk to you about it because I knew what you thought about it." I said, "Well, okay." And then he leans over. And this is the way it should be. Some of you have friends on the left. That's fine. I don't care. But he says this, and this is true. He says, "You know, right now, the American government is on the left, almost the extreme left." He says, "You don't like it, I get it." He says, "Next time around, it could be an American government's on the right." He says, "And I'm not going to like it." I said, "Fair enough, done." And this was right after, which one was it? I think we were talking, somebody we got on firearms. And I can't remember how we got there, but he said, "I don't want a gun." He says, "I don't even want to own one." I said, "And that's your right under the Second Amendment. No one says you have to have a gun. I, on the other hand, will avail myself to that right under the Constitution." I said, "I don't think any less of you." I said, "Look, some people are meant for combat. Some people are meant for violence. Some people aren't. That's okay. Remember, I told you last month, 70% of the American public is not physically fit for combat. Now, I'm 58 years old. When I was in the military, I was 19. I weighed 130 pounds. I was physically fit for combat. I am 58. I am not physically fit for combat, but I can do other things. All right. Now, no more temper tantrums from the left. This is what happens when the adults, known as the Supreme Court, step in and reassert their authority and say no. Then we get the screaming. You know, I mean, you hear the left, you know, throwing fake blood on themselves, walking and chanting in front of, you know, the Supreme Court justices' homes, screaming illegitimate this, illegitimate that. It is, if you have kids, especially if you have teenage daughters, because they're more prone to it. The boys do it too, but not to the extent that, you know, a lot of the teenage girls do it. It is the equivalent of them shouting, "I hate you! You ruined my life!" Stomping up the stairs, slamming the doors. This is what happens when adults reassert their authority. You get their temper tantrums. Now, we see adults on the left out there in the street screaming, "It's the end of the world, the sky is falling." No, it is not. The abortion issue goes back to the states, which it should have been all along. Now we hear about the left screaming, "You can't leave the state to go somewhere else to have an abortion." That's not true. Americans have always had the right to move from state to state, to move from colony to colony. It's just ridiculous. So, some of you are saying, and I got an email from a buddy of mine. He said, "Look, AOC, the ass of Congress, is screaming for them to take to the streets. You got Mad Max drooling all over herself saying, well, they're not going to put up with this, ah, da, 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 da." You know what? He says, "Why aren't they being arrested for incitement to riot?" And the reason is simple. One, the DOJ doesn't have the balls to do it. The DOJ doesn't have a lot of balls when it comes to the liberals, because they will give them the liberal privilege. So, let us move on to other things, my friends. All right. Australia. Now, I know you guys are tired of hearing about it, but we're going to talk about it anyways. Again, in case you're new. Oh, on CRN, I was on the Von Wiehunt show last week. Listen to it. Von Wiehunt, the eternal German, the Germanic warlord, Wiehunt, the barbarian. You know what? I like the guy. So, listen to the show. I posted it. I'm going to try to get Wiehunt. We got to work a schedule to get Wiehunt on my show. You'll like him. Now, as I was saying, Australians are warned to prepare for a food supply crisis that could cause even more empty shelves at the supermarkets. Now, mind you, last week we brought you the story in Sri Lanka. The Sri Lankan military has fired live ammo at their own people during a food riot. People, it's coming. Now, this is from the Daily Mail, which is a UK publication. This was out of their Australia branch, their Australia office. And yes, our show is heard in Australia. There's a new warning out. It says Australia is unprepared for a growing food crisis triggered by global warming and the war in Ukraine. Speaking of which, I understand that global warming, and I don't buy into it. Yes, there's been hot weather in the United States and the Midwest, and I understand the wheat harvest in Kansas took a massive hit. They've lost it. All right. So, Australia and the Asian Pacific region have been described as a disaster alley for climate change. I don't buy into this. This isn't my words. with a report stating the government is ill-prepared for the crisis. Yes, because governments can't control the weather. Okay. Only in fantasy world. The Australian Security Leaders Climate Group predicts global warming will cause crop production to decline by 2040 and compromise the water supply. Now, wait a minute. This week, we heard about, sea levels are going to rise by a foot and a half. Glaciers are melting. And then we got this article saying, no, we're going to compromise the water supply. Okay. Which is it, folks? You can't have it both ways. Actually, if you're a liberal, you get to do whatever you want because you have liberal privilege. Now, the grim predictions have prompted former military leaders to urge Australia to prepare for big consequences to the food supply. The effects of extreme heat waves and sea level rise will cause enormous consequences for Australia, the report says. Former Australian Defence Chief Chris Berry said disruptions to the food supply cause a variety of factors that would lead to further conflicts. Food insecurity is a growing crisis brought into the spotlight by the invasion of Ukraine, and it is a crisis that Australia is ill-prepared for. By the way, the UK published the phone calls, which you've been hearing about, from Joe Biden to Hunter. And one of the effects, and you have to read down the article, I posted it. If you follow me on the toilet of the internet, social internet, Mumblet, Codius, Gab, USA.life, I posted it. Down the article, in 2015, we have Hunter Biden talking about food security. This is in 2015. 7 years ago. Draw from it what you will. So, the report warns that the lack of global response to climate change will result in great pressure on the Australian Defence Forces, as well as disaster relief agencies. Aussie households have been warned the repetition of extreme weather events, such as the East Coast floods, will have unpredictable impacts on food production. They're talking about Australia, not the United States. Shoppers can expect to see more empty shelves at their local supermarket and for prices to remain the same or perhaps increase by the year's end. And as Australia's cost of living crisis continues, fresh food prices have come under the spotlight after rising above the rate of inflation. For example, the cost of an iceberg lettuce has skyrocketed to $12 in some East Coast supermarkets after an unseasonably cold start to the season and floods. And the latest CPI figure showed that the cost of fruits and vegetables grew by 6.7% in the March quarter compared to a year ago, with the rate of inflation at 5.1%. My bangle is lurking. I just heard him. If you're not familiar with what a Bengal is, it's a cross between a domestic cat and the Asian leopard. I call him psychotic. He needs medication. So meanwhile, Treasurer Jim Chalmers has warned the inflation rate will be certainly higher than the 5.1% rate in the March quarter and will get worse. He says that inflation will be significantly higher than what was expected in the last government's most recent budget. Certainly higher than the 5.1%. The inflation problem will get more difficult before it starts to ease. Really? You think? Now, do I believe that climate change is as big a threat as they say? No, I do not. Don't forget, in the 70s, they said it was a new ice age. Okay. Didn't get a lot of play out of that. Global warming. Ah, well, here's some money. That's the problem with governments. Their idea of solving a problem is to throw money at the situation. No. You can't throw money at every problem and expect it. What you can expect is a lot of corruption and people stealing and skimming off the top. That you can take to the bank, my friends. Because it's government. And government has their flunkies always at their hand in the cookie jar until they get caught. And then those in charge of the program go, we didn't know, we didn't know. They back away and run. So let's talk a little bit more, because the global famine is not just a theoretical scenario anymore. You know, we reported it here. And that was the head of the United Nations just warned that we are heading into an unprecedented global hunger crisis. We told you that 3 or 4 weeks ago. Little UN agency, you know, off in the corner, nobody here ever hears from them. They ran the story once. I picked up on it and twigged on it. No one has said anything about it since then. Certainly no government is going to say it out loud. The head of the United Nations warned that we are heading into an unprecedented global hunger crisis. People are already dropping dead of starvation in Africa. While that is true, you know, over the decades in the past, that has happened, but it ain't getting any better. And I got to tell you, the world sends a lot of food to the continent of Africa. There is no such thing as the country of Africa. Don't say that, you'll sound like a complete idiot. It's the continent of Africa. And not every country in Africa is undernourished. There are some countries in on the continent that are actually run properly, and they take care of their citizens, do what they're supposed to do. Granted, not all of them do it, all right, or are capable of it for whatever reason. So for months I've been documenting the signs that severe food shortages, say that three times fast, were on the way, and now they have begun. Of course, there are many reasons why we are facing such a dire situation. Weather patterns have gone completely haywire all over the planet. COVID pandemic has played havoc with global supply chains. Hold on. You can't blame the pandemic for the global supply chain mess. At least here in the United States. We can blame Democrat governors who shut down their state's economies. No, Trump did not shut down the economy. That was the glorious Democratic Party who had their governors in power at that time, locking down people, shutting down their economies. That's the reason. The war in Ukraine has greatly restricted the flow of agricultural resources out of one of the key breadbaskets in the entire world. And unfortunately, what we have experienced is just the tip of the iceberg. Because on Friday, the UN chief Antonio Guterres publicly warned that there will be an unprecedented global hunger crisis. What does that mean for you preppers? I'll tell you what it means. Stock up now. He says the world faces the prospect of mass starvation catastrophe driven by unprecedented food shortages. Warned last Friday. Last Friday. He pointed to the conflict in Ukraine as exacerbating disruptions caused by climate change, the coronavirus pandemic, and of course, don't forget the UN is a left-wing organization, so they have to throw in and inequality to produce an unprecedented global hunger crisis already affecting hundreds of millions of people. Now, according to Google, unprecedented means never done or known before. In other words, Guterres is saying that we are heading into what will be unlike anything any of us has ever seen, which is very possible. And he is also openly admitting that 2023 could be even worse than 2022. And we thought 2020 was bad. There is a real risk that multiple famines will be declared in 2022, he said in a video message to officials from dozens of countries gathered in Berlin. And 2023 could be even worse. He says, actually, I think it is safe to say that 2023 will definitely be worse than 2022 based on the information that we currently have. Of course, things have already gotten really bad in some parts of the globe. In Somalia, who has no government whatsoever, one deeply suffering mother has already lost 4 of her children to starvation in 2022. My friends, this begs the question, if you cannot take care of yourself, how are you supposed to take care of your children or any children? And if you have one, why do you keep having more when you can't take care of the one? Now, no mother should have to lose her child. Owilio Hassan Salad has watched 4 die this year. A drought in the Horn of Africa has taken them one by one. Now, this is... she cradles her frail and squalling 3-year-old, Ali Osman, whom she carried on a 55-mile walk from her village to Somalia's capital, desperate not to lose him too. Sitting on the floor of a malnutrition treatment center filled with anxious mothers, she can barely speak about the small bodies buried back home in the soil too dry for planting. He says it's one of the saddest things that he has read in a very long time. And I agree. Now, what is more tragic is that countless others will soon starve to death in Somalia, and conditions have also greatly deteriorated in Ethiopia and Kenya. Now, if I remember back in the 80s, it was Ethiopia that couldn't grow food or couldn't have enough food. Somalia has also joined that. And more than 200,000 people face catastrophic hunger and starvation in Somalia. It's a dramatic increase from the 81,000 forecast in April. That's a joint statement by UN agencies saying Monday, noting that a humanitarian response plan this year is just 18% funded. The bottom line is you can't take care of others until you take care of yourself. And Somalia isn't alone. Ethiopia's drought-affected regions, the number of children treated for the most severe malnutrition, a tip of the crisis, jumped 27% in the first quarter of this year. And that's according to UNICEF. The increase was 71% in Kenya, where Doctors Without Borders reported at least 11 deaths in a single county's malnutrition treatment program earlier this year. Now, we've always warned that it'd be the poorest parts of the globe that would be hit the hardest. But as the food shortages intensify, Western nations, that's us, will feel the pain as well. The biggest problem is all the food that is not going to be grown this year. Many fertilizer prices have approximately tripled from a year ago, and that is going to dramatically impact agriculture production all over the planet. Now, Russia and Belarus are major fertilizer exporters. They account for 38% of potassic fertilizers, 17% of compound fertilizers, and 15% of nitrogenous fertilizers. Here in the United States, many farmers have gone ahead with normal planting despite the high fertilizer prices. But now extreme drought is ruining crops all over the western half of the nation, just like I told you. Kansas, they lost the wheat crop, or at least a vast majority of it. In fact, here, this is from NPR. They're talking about what's happening in Kansas. Elizabeth Rembert. Kansas. Usually Kansas is known for its fields of waist-high golden wheat, but this year the blistering conditions have withered some of the crop into short, patchy straw. Standing in one of these fields in northwest Kansas, Chris Tanner wonders if he'll ever make it through the harvest. Chris Tanner says, I mean, like this head down here, there's going to be nothing in it. It'll blow out the back of the combine. You can see the seeds kind of exposed there. It'll shatter out even before we get here. Rembert says, it's fields like these leading industry groups to predict a 100 million bushel drop in Kansas wheat harvest this year. That's 30. I don't care. That's a 30% less than last year's harvest. That's almost a third of last year's. So, as we discussed last week, conditions are even worse in Colorado and Texas. So, buckle up, hold on tight, because things will soon start getting really crazy. My friends, my preppers, learn how to make your own bread. You're going to have to learn to do it. So there's one more thing I want to mention. In Oregon, authorities are bracing for an explosion of crop-devouring insects. Well, it is Oregon. Maybe God's decided they need a plague to change their ways. I don't know. The Oregon legislature last year allocated $5 million to assess the problem and set up a Mormon cricket and grasshopper suppression program. An additional $1.2 million for the program was approved earlier this month. It is part of a larger effort by state and federal authorities in the United States West to deal with an explosion of grasshoppers and Mormon crickets that has hit from Montana to Nevada. But some environmental groups, of course, oppose the programs, which rely on the aerial spraying of pesticides across large swaths of lands. Now, this is a problem. It's been growing in recent years, and one rancher was interviewed, described the outbreak that he has experienced as truly biblical. Rancher Sky Krebs said the outbreaks have been truly biblical on the highways. Once you get them killed, then the rest of them come, he explained. Mormon crickets are cannibalistic and will feast on each other dead or alive if not satiated with protein. Sounds like the left. It seems we get more bad news about U.S. food production with each passing. By the way, you know what? When you hear about these damn companies, we're going to pay to have our employees go to states and get their abortions. So you get idiots like Disney. We're going to make sure they can get access to da-da-da. So what business model is Disney following that says, yes, most of our, we cater to children. That's our product. Our products cater to children and kids. But let's give money so we can kill our future customers. What business model are they following, idiots? So, it seems like we get more bad news about U.S. food production with each passing day. Unfortunately, most Americans still don't seem to grasp what is happening. And if ranchers and farmers don't produce our food, there won't be anything to buy at the grocery store. For those people that live in the big metropolitan areas who don't understand where your food comes from, not the grocery stores, farms, ranches. Yes. Don't laugh. There are people on the left that believe that's where the food comes from. Now, we have never faced anything like we're dealing with now, and this crisis is only going to intensify in the months ahead. Stock up now. As a matter of fact, my pension check arrives on Friday. I'm going to go to Aldi. I like Aldi. Aldi is one of the largest supermarket chains on the planet. They have plenty of resources or places or whatever, farms, ranches, distribution centers they can access to bring in stuff. I'm going to buy a lot of vegetables, canned vegetables. You might want to consider throwing in other items. Buy them by the case. Do it now, because next week, it's not going to be any cheaper. It just isn't. Okay. Where am I? Where am I here? How much time have I got left? Ah, plenty. All right. Something a bit lighthearted. Hey, there's this chick, and she's funny. She does a very, in my opinion, does a very good impression of the cackler, Kamala Harris. I want you to listen to her and close your eyes. I mean, she's pretty good about this, and it's funny. So I will play it for you because it is funny as hell. It is. Listen to her. I don't know what her name is, but she's funny. Here she is.
If you wake up, okay, and don't want to smile, if it takes a little while, okay, listen, open your eyes, okay, and look at the day, okay, you gotta look at the day, you do, and listen, you'll see things in a different way, okay, listen, full stop, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Okay, don't stop, because it'll soon be here, okay? It'll soon be here. Yeah. It'll be here better than before. Okay, yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Okay, it's gone. And listen, full stop, it is gone. Yeah.
There you go. I don't know what her name is, but she is funny. She is good. And you know, I just found out her name is Elsa Kurt. Elsa Kurt. And Elsa, if you're listening, you are very good. Funny, funny, funny. And you know what? And the reason it's funny is because it's true. Listen to her. I mean, oh my. Too funny. She is good. My, oh my. All right. I wanted to close out the show with that. What else? That's it, my friends. Because you know what? I can only cover, and I can only personally handle so much stupidity for 1 week and try to get it all into one show because it's stressing me out. So I'm going to go out in my driveway and I'm going to protest. I'm going to demand that something is illegitimate. I don't know. Idiots. Haven't got the brains God gave trees. The left does not. Now, there is one. There's a big story saying that the American electorate, 1 million people have switched their parties from Democrat to Republican. And everybody's throwing the high fives. Okay, it may be true. I would like to err on the side of caution as being the voice of reason based on past experience. And that is this. You could be seen, especially in states in the primaries, where you have to declare your party. You have to declare your party so you can vote in the primary. It's not an open primary. So it could be, you could be seeing a Democrat case of Democrats crossing over to meddle and vote in the Republican primary in order to vote for the weakest Republican candidate for the November election. That's what we're looking. That's my take on it. Could I be wrong? Oh, absolutely. But, based on past experience, would you put it past them? Would you put it past the Democrats to meddle in the Republican? Oh, wait, they already have here in Illinois. The Democratic Governors Association and the friends of JB sat there and spent millions of dollars promoting Darren Bailey, the Republican, in the primary, over six or seven other candidates. Why? Because my guess is the Democrats need somebody that Pritzker, that they think Pritzker can beat. Is it impossible for the Republicans to win the Illinois governorship? Not impossible, but very difficult. So don't be surprised if you haven't had your primaries and you start seeing these ads on television and radio paid for by the Democratic Governors Association, paid for by other Democratic operative organizations, promoting a Republican candidate. So don't be fooled into it just yet. Don't be high-fiving it right now. November is a long way off, my friends. A long way off. All right, my friends. Until next week, hope you enjoyed the show. I'm John Jeffers. Prep today, live tomorrow, get out there. Buy your food stashes now. You got to. Time's ticking. Time is ticking. All right, then. Have an American day. We'll see you next week.